Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. Let's give cats some love today. Let's cover a disease that we pretty much, at least I've only seen in a cat, see in our feline friends. And you will hear this called things like pillow foot. That is a very common thing for owners to look up or, you know, say their cat has. But the medical term for it is plasma cell pododermatitis. And it's a very interesting disease. And it is pretty classical when you see it in appearance. But we honestly don't know that much about it or kind of what triggers some cats to have this disease process. It does involve plasma cells. It's very well named. Plasma cells infiltrating the foot pads of cats. And remember, plasma cells are activated lymphocytes that they can kind of mature and produce antibodies in response to things like infections or some sort of inflammatory process. So it's really interesting to think about why this disease happens. And again, we don't really fully understand the pathogenesis of plasma cell pododermatitis. But if plasma cells are involved, could it be something activating the immune system and there's an immune stimulation that kind of causes this disease? And one kind of interesting thing is there's been some viral diseases such as feline immunodeficiency virus or FIV that we see in a large percentage of these cats. So if you have a cat who comes in and they have plasma cell pododermatitis, you definitely want to do some viral testing because some reports have been 40 to 50% of these cats could be FIV positive. So that could be something really important to recognize, which makes sense, right? Because if their immune system's not working as well because they have something like FIV, maybe when they get antigenically stimulated by something, they are developing these plasma cells as a response. So as far as actually like diagnosis, you know, honestly, a lot of times you can clinically see these cats and have a pretty good idea. There's not too much else that looks like plasma cell pododermatitis. It gets pillow paw exactly for that name. A lot of times when we see these cats, they have that like deflated appearance depending on what part of the disease process you're seeing them. They can be kind of deflated and have striations to their actual paw pads themselves. But you can see them when they're really, really inflamed. They can get really swollen. They can actually ulcerate. They tend to have like this purplish kind of hue or tint to them. It can affect all four paws, or it could just affect one paw. So if it affects one paw, sometimes that's not as easy to diagnose because there are other forms of masses or diseases, specifically eosinophilic granuloma, that we could see affect just one paw pad. So that could potentially be a differential for this disease. Clinically, a lot of times owners will just notice that their cat's paw pads look kind of weird, funky, deflated. But cats can get extremely uncomfortable and painful with this disease. So sometimes the first things that owners see is that their cat is lame, especially if there's many paws that are affected and they can't really compensate. Lab work can show them having things like a hyper gamma globulinemia. So that can be really interesting as far as something we may see on lab work. But honestly, a lot of these cats tend to look pretty good, like be pretty healthy, which is why it's interesting that some cats develop this disease when they're in general a really normal looking cat with no other big medical issues. For a diagnosis, like I said, sometimes it's just a clinical diagnosis, looks like that, pretty much is that. But you can do things like aspirate. So you could aspirate the paw pad itself, and most cats will be pretty tolerant of it, or you could always give mild sedation to do this. And you would expect that you would see, obviously, an abundance of plasma cells. If you really are unsure, it's a solo paw pad, so you really want to make sure it's nothing else like a tumor or an eosinophilic granuloma. In case we do need to do something like a full allergic workup, then certainly it's not wrong to biopsy these cases. And, you know, you just biopsy them right into the paw pad. If they're really swollen, they could actually deflate. Like when you biopsy them, I would take a couple different areas. You know, if you have one affected, you could just take a couple spots from one paw, or certainly you could sample from multiple paws. But the diagnosis itself is usually pretty straightforward and easy. If you send it in, you're going to, just like the aspirate, your histopathology is just going to show an abundance of plasma cells. Now, treatment can be really interesting. If you have a mild case of this, like just one paw pad's mildly affected, it's slightly deflated or a little striated or a little purpley, but that cat's fine, like not lame, not really bothered, it doesn't swell up. To be honest, benign neglect, like you do not have to treat these cats if they're pretty mild. You know, you can certainly have owners monitor for them because they could wax and wane like any other autoimmune disease, but you don't necessarily have to have a treatment on these cats if they're pretty mild and not particularly bothered by the paw pad itself. You know, having them watch for things like it worsen, it gets swollen, it's ulcerating, they're lame, they're licking at it. So some cats will lick at it just from the discomfort of, you know, pain and inflammation. They'll kind of lick and chew at it. So if you don't closely look at that paw pad, you could actually think they have something like, you know, allergies, because they may say, oh, they lick their paws. You know, we would think of pruritus associated with allergies. Now, if we are going to treat, there's a few different treatment options that are more common to use. Doxycycline is actually really reported as a pretty effective medication for this disease. You know, 5 to 10 mg per kg, once or twice daily, kind of depending on the dose that you use and the success rate within that cat. The thing you obviously have to be careful about when we're talking about doxycycline in cats, and especially for a more long-term treatment, is you either can compound it into a liquid, which sometimes there's variability in the concentration depending on that compounded liquid, or when you give the doxycycline pill, they have to chase it with water because there is risk of esophageal stricture in cats with the use of doxycycline. So that's something that owners have to know and we have to be aware of. If they're on the more mild to moderate side, you need to treat. You can treat them, and if they have a really great response, honestly, sometimes you can get them off of medications, but there are some cats who chronically need to stay on it or they get uncomfortable with that paw. Other treatments that can be utilized, so cyclosporin, you know, the labeling on the liquid Atopica, 7 mg per kg is what the poundage in that syringe will give you if you match up the pound to that cat. So, you know, 7 mg per kg can be given with cats to try to manage this disease as well. So you can use either the capsules or the liquid form of that cyclosporin. Obviously, the big thing with that is watching for things like stomach upset, salivating at the mouth. But most cats tend to tolerate cyclosporin pretty well, and it can be a really effective treatment for this. Now, there are some cats who just end up needing steroids. I mean, steroids sometimes, if they're really inflamed, if they're really uncomfortable, can still be an effective treatment option, you know, somewhere in the higher anti-inflammatory to maybe even immunosuppressive doses to start, depending on how bad that cat's paw is and how uncomfortable they are. If really severe cases, large ulcerated masses, and I would think this is actually not the majority of these cases, but there are reports of really severe cases, and if they have large ulcers, masses, swellings, that they actually could go to surgery and require surgical removal of those more large inflammatory masses or nodules. But most cases, at least that I see in the clinic, we are able to medically manage. A lot of them we can either monitor or we can treat, and if they do really well, we'll slowly taper down our medications, and some of them you can actually get off medications for periods of time, especially if you just get them to a more mild version of the disease where the owners can monitor and let you know if they're starting to flare. In general, cats tend to do pretty well with this disease. It's something that we can manage. The cats can be comfortable. You know, we don't really care if they have a little bit of a deflated paw, if they have striations to the paw. The big thing is making sure that there's no underlying obvious disease, like a viral thing that could be leading to this plasma cell pododermatitis, and just that they're comfortable. So we don't have swellings, we don't have ulcers, they're not lame, they're not limping, and then these kitties can go on to live a happy, healthy, and normal life. So just a really cool disease that we see in cats. There's not you know, too many specific diseases, autoimmune-like diseases that really just tend to affect cats as far as dermatologically. So something that we do predominantly see in them, and really if you keep an eye out for it, you will probably notice this disease in your general practice. If it's more mild, owners may have never noticed that their cat's paw pad is a little funky, and you will hear the term, like I said, pillow paw being thrown around. So if an owner mentions their cat has pillow paw, or they thought their cat had pillow paw, plasma cell pododermatitis is the disease that they are thinking about. So whether you have to aspirate, biopsy, or just feel comfortable making a clinical diagnosis based on the presentation. Now, hopefully you know a little bit more about this disease, what to expect, and the treatment options that are available. If you like hearing about these kind of fun little diseases, these are definitely things we cover in the Derm Nerds. So I encourage you to check it out. Not only do they have the cytology lecture in there, but we have a lot of great information for you for fun diseases like this that we can see in the clinic and you can become a little derm expert on.